This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good. Okay. So, good evening. Welcome. Parshas Vayishlach. So, I hope you've got a handout. On the handout, there are four offerings for tonight. Four very, very interesting, beautiful ideas on Parshas Vayishlach. Those online, please do email me at j.golka@gmail.com and I will happily send you the sheet. Now, the first idea, it's one of my favorite Divrei Torah. I heard it many years ago from Yisrael Meir Lau. I've said it over many, many times, and I may have said it here. I try very hard not to repeat, and I try always find new material. But after I prepared it, and it was all ready to roll, I thought I may have said it, not Parshas Vayishlach, because I go through the old sheets and just check what I've said and make sure there's no repeats. But I may have said something, a part of this, on Lag BaOmer, but I didn't have a chance to look it up. So if I have, I apologize. But this, it really is a majestic idea. Rabbi Bernstein used to say that if it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. So I invoke that sentiment. Okay, let's take a look. The first box quotes the Pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Beis, Lev Lev, Vayivase Yaakov Levadoi Vayeovik Ish Imoy Ad Aleis Hashachar. The famous pasuk that Yaakov Avinu is now in this week's parsha, he's preparing for this encounter with Esav. He is nervous. He hears that Esav is still burning with hatred towards him. 400 men are heading his way, and he goes with his family. He crosses the river Yabok, and he then is later on is left on his own because he forgets the Pachim Katanim, and he goes back and he's on his own, and he finds the Malach of Esav, and he wrestles with him all night. And then the pasuk later on continues and says Vayizrach leHashemesh, that they fight until dawn. When sunrise happens, the Malach says, "I've got to go. I've got to sing. I've got to say Shira. I've got to go." And Yaakov releases him, and then he gets a bracha from him. He concedes to the brachas, and that is the end of that little sugya. Now, the pasuk says Vayizrach loy hashemesh. The obvious difficulty with that is what? What are Chazal worried about? Vayizrach loy hashemesh. When the sun rises, it doesn't just rise for you or me individually. It rises for the whole of mankind. So the pasuk should say Vayizrach Hashemesh, and the sun rose, the sun shone. Why Vayizrach Loi Hashemesh? Why does the sun shine just for Yaakov Avinu? So the Gemara in Chulin and other places, and the Medrash is worried about that. Those words Vayizrach Loi Hashemesh. It should just say Vayizrach Hashemesh. Fine. Now we'll get back to this question, but we'll do it by way of Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara in Chulin says this. Look at this amazing Gemara. Now, we're going to go through the Gemara, and as we're going through the Gemara, I want you to try and think, what questions do you have on this Gemara? And remember, the Gemara doesn't tell us redundant details, it's not a storybook, so everything included in this episode is there for a reason, so that should just alert us, get our questions, our antennae out. So says the Gemara in Chulin, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel ves Rabbi Yeshua be'itlis shel imam. I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, be'itlis shel imum, in the meat market of imum, she'holchu likach behema lemishta b'nei Rabbi Gamliel. Why were they there? Why were Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel in the meat market of imum? They were there to buy an animal for the wedding of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel was making a wedding. They went to the meat market to buy an animal to shecht and to serve meat at the wedding. And Rabbi Akiva went to the meat market to ask Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua the following question. Ksiv, it says in our pasuk in this week's parsha, Vayizrach loy hashemesh. Says the Gemara, v'chishemesh loy levad zarcha. Did the sun shine just for Yaakov Avinu? V'halo l'chol oilem d'ksarcha. It's shone for the whole world. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, shemesh haba bavuroi zarcha bavuroi. The sun which set for him shone for him. Dichziv, v'yeitzi Yaakov v'beshev v'yelech aron, etc. And the Gemara goes on and says that when Yaakov Avinu was leaving in last week's parsha, which was 34 years earlier, when Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav after the whole incident of the brachas, the pasuk and the Chazal explain that the sun set for him. Why? Because it says vayifka b'mokim, that he arrived at the place, and it was the place of the mokim of the Migdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov Avinu to stop there. Now, in days gone by, and even today, if you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're traveling, not in near a town, you're walking in the middle of the top of the Lake District, and all of a sudden it gets dark, and you're in the middle of the woods in the forest, you're stuck. You can't carry on, it's pitch black, literally. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with Yaakov Avinu. He made the sun set, suddenly became dark, Yaakov had to pitch his tent. It happened to be the Mokum of the Migdash, and that's where Yaakov Avinu had his dream. Now, imagine the sun was meant to set that day at 6 p.m. And instead it set at, say, 4 p.m. So it was, if you like, the sun was sort of done out of 2 hours of shining. It shone prematurely. It set prematurely. It didn't shine its full quota. 34 years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensated the sun and said, don't worry, I haven't forgotten. Vayizrach loy HaShemesh is meant to rise at, say, 6 a.m. It will rise at 4 a.m. And you'll be compensated the extra 2 hours because of what happened 34 years earlier. Why 34 years, by the way? He ran away. 14 years he went to the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. 14 years he worked for Rochel and Leah. 6 years he stayed on. And it was 34 years later. Okay? It's 14, 14, and 6. Now, therefore, says the Gemara, Vayizrach loy HaShemesh, that's pshat. The sun shone for Yaakov. What does that mean? On account of Yaakov Avinu. Because 34 years earlier, it had set prematurely. In order to compensate the sun to get its full quota, we would make it rise 2 hours earlier, let's say, a little earlier. Fine, very good. That's the Gemara in Chulin. Fine. The end of Gemara. What's the problem? What difficulties do you have with this Gemara? If it helps... Yeah, I've written them out on the sheet. Four questions. Now, again, all of these questions I heard from Yisrael Meir Lau. He was in England, in 1996. He was here for the first Encounter Conference, and he stayed with Dan Erentrop, and he davened there Friday night, and he spoke in the shul, and I remember what he said was magnificent. I wrote it down after Shabbos, and I've said it over many, many times, and there's a theme that you can build and build on. Anyway, this in short is what he said. Why does the Gemara tell us that this dialogue took place in the meat market of Immum? Who cares? Surely the Ikka idea is, the main idea is, Vayizrach la Shemesh. That the sun was compensated all these years later. Why is it necessary for the Gemara to tell us this seemingly irrelevant point that it took place in the meat market of Immum? Question number one. Question number two, what is the significance of the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were buying meat for the wedding of the son of Rabbi Gamliel? Again, seems to be an irrelevant fact. You know, that's not the main point, surely. Third of all, a very strong question. You know, if I was making Ol Chasna, and I was, you know, nowadays we'd sort of meet the caterers, and we'd go through the menu list, I wouldn't have to go to the meat market to buy an animal, but it's the same thing, that's the contemporary thing. That's what it is, that's what it means. If I was busy preparing for a Chasna, why does Rabbi Akiva go to the meat market to ask Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua this question? They're busy. Why don't you wait till the Beis HaMedrash the next morning? You ask them in the Beis HaMedrash, why does he have to go to the meat market to bother them with this question? And the final question is, who actually gives the answer? It's not Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. If you're going to go all the way to ask this urgent question, why isn't it that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua give an answer? Rabbi Akiva seems to be quoting Rabbi Yitzchak. So he goes all the way, doesn't even get an answer really. It seems very strange. So four questions. What's the significance of the fact that it takes place in the meat market? Why? What's the significance of the fact that they were buying meat for the chasna of the real son? Number three, why did he have to bother them then? Why not wait till the next day in the Beis HaMedrash? Number four, why didn't Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua answer the question? The answer is this. Many, many examples of this. Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas is the epitome of optimism and positivity. He is the person who can see the silver lining in every cloud. Despite however dark the situation may be, Rabbi Akiva is the man who can always see the good in everything. Now there are many examples. Perhaps the most well known is the Gemara at the end of Makkos. The Gemara says at the end of Makkos that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, interestingly, I think, and one other, were walking on Har HaBayis with Rabbi Akiva. and they see a fox emerge from the Mokum of the Beis HaMikdash. So famously the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva starts laughing and they start crying. So they say, Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? So he says back to them, why are you crying? He says, we're crying because this is the holiest place in the whole world where the holiest person, Ben Godel, would enter the holiest place on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. And now we're seeing foxes roam around. Of course we're crying. It's terrible to see. Why are you laughing? So Rabbi Akiva says, and he works out through the fulfillment of the Nevuah of two juxtaposed prophecies, that I've seen this desolation, and I've seen also, he refers to another beautiful Nevuah, that's it, the view of Nevuah of Zechariah, of Oid Yeshu, Zekeinu, Zekeinos, etc., that beautiful Pasuk, of you see old men and women sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, children, Mesachakim, yeah, that beautiful Pasuk. Now, when you go to the old city, and you walk through the Rava and you see little kids playing, you see old people, you literally see that, you think of that Pasuk, you know, as you walk through. Anyway, Rabbi Akiva, and there are many, many examples of this. The Aruch HaShulchan says that on Seder night, the famous Maaser in Gamliel, the Maaser of Bnei Brak. So they're all sitting in Bnei Brak. One of the famous questions everyone asks is, Bnei Brak is the locale of Rabbi Akiva. What are they doing there? Rabbi Akiva is the Talmud in the story. You go to the Rebbe's house, not the Talmud's house. The answer is, you've got to know the historical context of Gemaras. When did Rabbi Akiva live? Rabbi Akiva lived during and after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So he saw what was, he saw the Churban, then he saw the rebirth. But after the Churban Bayis Sheni, people were devastated. No one was in the mood to celebrate Pesach. Everyone felt, you know, torn. So therefore, they went to Rabbi Akiva's house, because if there's one person who we can go to give us chizuk, it's Rabbi Akiva. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan explains that Gemara. That explains that difficulty in the Haggadah. It's Rabbi Akiva always, Akiva Necham Tonu, Akiva Necham Tonu. He's always the person who can see the silver lining in every cloud. In short, Rabbi Lau says, that is what's going on in our Gemara in Chulin. Rabbi Akiva wasn't going to ask a question. He saw that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were going to buy the meat with a very heavy heart. They weren't in the mood to make a chasna. The Gemara says that they wanted to make all the halachas of the 9 days for 365 days a year. Who can celebrate? Who wants to eat meat, drink wine? We've just lost the Beis HaMikdash. To put it into contemporary, you know, just to try and understand it, imagine, you know, the DP camp straight after the war. Everyone's broken. Their whole life has changed forever. So no one is in the mood to celebrate. So they're going with a heavy heart to buy meat. Says Rabbi Akiva, that's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is that to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And there's a cheshbon in everything that happens. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going not to ask a question, but to teach a lesson. And he dafka goes to the meat market to meet Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who are going with a heavy heart to buy meat for the chasna of Rabbi Gamliel's son, to teach them that don't go with a heavy heart. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, there's a cheshbon. And I'll prove to you there's a cheshbon. How do I know there's a cheshbon? Vayizrach lo yashemesh. Even something as seemingly immaterial as the exact quota that the sun shone for, who cares? 34 years earlier, sunset was a little bit earlier. Big deal. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with a cheshbon. 34 years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget. I compensate the sun. So Vayizrach Loi HaShemesh is a lesson of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that answers all our questions. That's why the Gemara tells us it takes place in a meat market in Immun, that Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married. It's not Rabbi Akiva, it's not Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua who give the answer. Because he's not going to ask a question, he's going to teach them a lesson. The lesson that Rabbi Yitzchak expounds on this pasuk of Vayizrach Lo HaShemesh. So a very fantastic idea, a majestic idea on these pesukim. Okay, let's press on. Now, the next idea is quite a well-known Vilna Gaon. I will share with you the Vilna Gaon. And I'm not going to spend too long on it. I wanted to share you the main idea of the Vilna Gaon, but I'm going to leave you a bit unsatisfied, because I'm going to ask a couple of kashas on it. And please God, maybe we can revisit this theme another year, because there are other interpretations in Mahalchim. But what I'll do tonight is share with you at least the Vilna Gaon. It's a beautiful idea, but you'll see that there is debate whether or not the Vilna Gaon actually said this. I know that Rabbi Hartman is strongly of the opinion that the Bimbam could never have said this idea, but we'll see why soon. Let's take a look. The Pasuk says, Vayokom balaylo hahu, Vayikach eshtei nosho veshtei shifchosov. Yaakov Avinu takes his two wives and his two shifchas, Bilhah and Zilpah, ve'es echod osor yulodov, and his 11 children, Vayavra esma vayabok, and he crosses the river Yabok. Says Rashi, 11 children, and we know Binyamin is not yet born. That happens later in the parasha. Binyamin is born, Rachel dies in childbirth, so he's 11 children. Now, so he's got 11 sons, plus Dina. So someone's missing, because he's got 12 children at this point. 11 sons, plus Dina. With twins. So Rashi brings that as well, and Binyamin's born with two, he's a triplet. But the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is that there, and even if it's true, then they're not mentioned in the Torah anyway. But Dina is. So you've got 11 sons and Dina who are all mentioned in the Torah, but yet it says Achadas Yelodov. So says Rashi, the Dina Heichen Haisa. So where's Dina? Says Rashi, well known, very famous, Nosna Bateva. He hid Dina away in a box. The Nor the Fonesh, Alitin Bo Esav Enoch, that Esav shouldn't sort of take a look at her. And Yaakov was punished for it. Okay. But the question that the Mefarshim are troubled by is, how does Rashi know that it was Dina who was missing? Maybe it was Reuven who was missing. Maybe Shimon, maybe Levi, maybe Yehud. You understand the problem? He had 12 children at this point. So how does Rashi know the Dina Heichen Haisa? Maybe it was someone else who was missing. You hear the kasha? Okay. So there's an amazing Kol Eliyahu. The Kol Eliyahu was not written by the Vilna Gaon. It was written by his Talmidim. And everything, of course, attributed to the Vilna Gaon. So let me share with you what is written in the Sefer Kol Eliyahu, and then we'll see what problems we have with it. Says the Vilna Gaon, V'yesh Loma. Sorry, the first line. Barashi v'sechad aso yelod of his 11 children, v'dino heichen hoisa. Makshim ha'ilam, the whole world ask. Minolam de dina nechsera. How do you know it was Dina who was missing? Dilma Dina hoisa mehechad aso yelod of. Maybe Dina was one of the 11 children. V'echum yashvotim ha'ya nechsa. One of the shvotim weren't there. How does Rashi know that it was Dina who was missing? Says the Kol Eliyahu, v'yesh loymar, dihine isa begumara. It's brought in the Gemara. Now, this is another. This is one of the problems with this pshat. It's actually not a Gemara, because it's Rabbi Hartman has sort of found the source for it. I've got it at the source, the footnote there. It's a Targum Sheni in Megillas Esther, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Gimel Gimel, Targum Sheni in Megillas Esther. Not a particularly well-known source, but that's actually where it says this, because Rabbi Hartman says he said that. These sources that I've got over here, the Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara in the Medrash Rabbah, etc., only says that the Beis Hamikdash is in the portion of Binyamin, and not because he didn't bow down. In other words, Hatam says the Kol Eliyahu, Sheniv the Beis Hamikdash bechelka she Binyamin. Why is it that the Beis Hamikdash is built in the portion of Binyamin, mipnei dehula hishtacha vele Esav, because he didn't bow down to Esav? Now, the Gemaras that is cited there only say that the Beis Hamikdash is in the portion of Binyamin. It doesn't say that it was there because he didn't bow down. That's a Targum Sheni in Megillas Esther. Okay, just we'll think about that in a second. Because he wasn't yet born. Fine. Im kein lefizeh. Listen to this cheshbon, very clever chab. Im kein lefizeh. Im isa dohayanechse echad minashvatim. If one of the 11 boys, one of the shvatim, and not Dina, then haru gam kein leishtach vel Esav. Then he also didn't bow down to Esav. Im kein kosher lo melo nivne beis hamikdash bechelka shelo yisa shevet. There'd be no raya anymore. Shenechsa oz umadu nivne davka bechelka she binyamin. Al al kochach zorech lemet the kol hashvotim hoyu shom im Yaakov v'kul nishtach v'le Esav zulas binyamin, etc. In other words, says the Kol Eliyahu, very clever chab, it must have been Dina, because the Chazal tell us, wherever the source is, that the Beis Hamikdash is built in the Chelek of Binyamin. Why? Because he didn't bow down to Esav. So had it been one of the 11 Shvatim who were missing, then your Raya has just been shot. There's no Raya anymore. Because maybe it was Yizachar. And therefore, who says the Beis Hamikdash should be built in the Chelek of Binyamin? Maybe it should be built in the Chelek of Yizachar. Right? And therefore, since Chazal prove that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be in the Chelik of Binyam, because he was the one who didn't bow down to Esav, because he wasn't born yet, you can only say that Raya if it was Dina who was missing and not one of the Shvatim, because if it was one of the Shvatim, then your Raya is gone, maybe it should have been built in the Chelik of the other Shevet. Yeah? Everyone happy with that? The difficulty is this. What difficulties do you find? A few difficulties. One difficulty is that, first of all, if it was a Gemara, then no. But the source for this is a very obscure source. It's not so. It's a Targum Sheni on Megillas Esther. Number two, they cross the river the night before. They meet Esav the next day. So maybe they weren't there when they crossed the river because they were involved in something else. And the next day, they caught up and they were with Esav. Who says they weren't there because they didn't cross the river with him? Another kasha is that there are other shvatim where we couldn't have the Beis Hamikdash built on their chelik. Which other shvatim? We know that there were 2.5 tribes who didn't make it in. So maybe it was Reuven. Alright, where's the Beis Hamikdash and his shevet? No, because Reuven and God, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, and Eva Yade. We can't have a Beis Hamikdash, not in Israel. Not in Israel. Doesn't make sense. And what about Levi? Yeah, Levi never got a chelek. So maybe it was Levi. So, I'm sharing you with the Kol Eliyahu. It's a very clever chap, but there are questions on it. Okay? So it's a beautiful idea. Miss Hashem, in another year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a lot of kerch, that we should resume on Parsha Vayishlach and look at this idea again. And there is another beautiful mahalach, but please go for another year. Let's try and finish off these two ideas briefly. Now, idea number three. I told you earlier that I try very, very hard not to repeat ideas. However, I did say this idea once before, but what I'm going to do is, my heta is that I'm going on a different tangent. I'm just telling you this, the kernel of the idea. That's what I have said before, and I'm going off. I remember Rabbi Roberts once told me, in Ben Adas, he used to say, you know, for 50 years, he said shirim there. And his shirim were unbelievable. And he had a rule, never to repeat. Never to repeat the same vata, 50 years. Yep. So, one time, a Baal HaBos went up to him and said, Rabbi, you said that Gemara once before. So he said to him, I quoted the Gemara, I said a different shot in it. That's allowed. Okay, so I'm telling you this idea, but I'm going on a different, that's my, that's my experiment. It so happens to be a very beautiful idea, so I think it's majestic, so I don't apologize too much. Says the Pasuk, when Yaakov Inu was fighting with the Malach all night, it says, afterwards he said, you're not going to be called Yaakov anymore, you're now called Yisrael. Why? Because you fought, you battled with masters and with people, and you prevailed. Asks many people, well, why? If that's why you called Israel, because you battled and you struggled and you fought with people and you prevailed. So we should be called not a derivative of a sarisa. We should be called the derivative of Vatuchel. That's the main point, that we overcame, we won. Why are we called Yisrael based on the word Kisorisa? We should be called something to do with Vatuchel, because we prevailed, we won. Famous question. The answer is Regishma. The answer is, because more important than the outcome is the struggle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the struggle more than the outcome. The outcome is almost irrelevant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the effort and the toil and the struggle. Now, that's the kernel idea. Let me just share with you a couple of ideas to add to that. A very interesting idea of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal made the following observation. You know, in the outside world, different metaphors are used for youth. One of the metaphors that's often used is spring. Spring is looking at the fresh, new, invigorating, and pleased to tell you that I've quoted Shakespeare. Okay? That the Shakespeare says that the spring, when proud, April dressed in all his trim, hath put a spirit of youth in everything. Everyone, the outside world, compares youth to spring. That's not the Jewish way. In Yiddishkeit, we compare youth to winter. So there's a pasuk in Iyo. The pasuk says, "Kasher yisi b'mei charpi." Says the Ulam Farshim b'mei charpi. Rashi says b'mei kadmusi. That was in my early days. What does that refer to? The Ralbag says there, "Narusi v'hu minyan chayref ki oz yochuz manazria." It's the time of hard work. It's the time of sweating, of sowing, of planting. Winter is the time of hard work. Spring is already a time when you can start enjoying it. You can start reaping and enjoying your hard work. But winter is the time for hard work. Youth is the time for hard work. For schwitzing and for sweating. Now, Moshe Shapira says, he adds a very beautiful insight. He says that we begin the week on Sunday and we rest at the end. Sheshes Yom Tavoid. We work for 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc. Then come Shabbos, at the end we rest. That is a Jewish hashkofa. You work hard, Olam Hazeh, and then Sof HaBrocha Lovay. Mashen came in the sort of the secular world in which we live, it's the other way around. You start with the Sunday. Sunday is a day of rest. And then you go into work. That's not a Jewish hashkofa. Again, it's the same idea. We compare youth to winter, time of working hard. You know, the Netziv used to joke, I've written it here, that when he was a bacha and used to learn 18 hours a day, he was called Naftali. And then he took on more responsibility, and he got married, and he was called Reb Naftali. And then when he became a Magid Shir in Yeshiva, he was called Harav Berlin, and he had even less time to learn. And then when he sort of became the Rosh Hashiva and had even more responsibilities and less time to learn, he was called Harav Agan, you know, Harav Berlin. And then when he became involved in Klal matters and became one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, he was, you know, Harav Agam, Marina Rosh Shiva, Sarater, etc., etc. And he said it should have been the opposite. Because the more responsibilities, the older he got, the less he could learn. And when he learned the most, 18 hours a day as a Bach, he was known as Naftali. Now, of course, he was joking, but there's a lot of truth in what he was saying. But only the later accomplishments were only because of the work in his youth. And he worked very hard. So that's the point. That's the Jewish hashgafa, if you like, in all of this. Let me just finish. We'll miss out the bits over there. But let me just finish with one very beautiful idea that I saw in the Sefer Ma'ayanot Shel Torah. Very interesting thing at the end of the parsha. So after all the encounters with Yitzchak, with Yaakov and Esav, and all the story that ensues, we're then told that Esav, all his genealogy. And the pasuk says in Perek Lamed Vav, the Eila told us Esav hu Edom, and he gets married, and one of the women he marries is Bos Mas Bas Yishmol Achas Nevoyes. Rashi's got a problem. How can you tell me his wife? One of his wife's names is Bos Mas, because says Rashi v'lahalon kairi lo Mochlas. Previously, we've been told this lady's name is Mochlas. Says Rashi, it comes to teach us a well-known idea, namely. This is Rashi. There are three categories of people whose slate is wiped clean. Their averas are wiped out. Ger Shniskaya. A ger, when he converts, his slate is wiped clean. For Ha'il L'Gdula, you take upon yourself a position of prominence. For Hanoise Isha, when a person gets married, then all their past averas are wiped away. Chosen Anka. V'loma Tacha Mikan. And this is the source. Why? Lekach nikras mochlo. That's why she's called mochlas. Shenimchulu avonoseho. What's the kasha? The kasha is, of all the places you're going to be told that a choson and a kala, when they get married, they have a start, a fresh start. You learn from Esav. When he got married to mochlas, bosmas, mochlas. Yeah? Why Esav? If you look at the bottom paragraph. Ma tam rumus dover zeh dafka etzel Esav. Says a very geshmak of what? He brings this to the name. The Rabbi Kodesh. Kadesha Satan Sar Shal Esav. The Satan. The Sar of Esav. Lo Yikatri Gala Chosim. Could be the Satan at any Chosim. We'll turn around and we'll look at the Chosim and say, really? This Chosim, you want his slate to be wiped clean? Do you know what he got up to? Do you know what she got up to? Shehir Belachte Ve'enenu Roy L'Mechila. They sin so much, they're not worthy of Mechila. Omra Zois Torah Etzel Esav. Dafka, the Torah tells us this idea with Esav Koloima. In Mochel Esav, if you are Mochel Esav, Yeshlim Cholachol HaChasanim. No one's going to be worse than Esav. If it works for Esav, then it works for any other chosn than Kala. No one is worse than Esav. Ki hari amadrega yosef gru mishal Esav lo yitzitachin. You're not going to find anyone worse than Esav. So we dafka, we source this dafka with Esav to teach that it applies for any chosn than Kala, whatever the history may have been, because no one's going to be worse than Esav. So, yeah. Good. True. That was his saving grace. But even that, they say it was an intellectual pursuit rather than for the right reasons, etc., etc. But you're right. It's a good Torah. Four ideas, just to quickly summarize. The first one is Vayizrach LeHashemesh. That beautiful idea I heard from Rabbi Lau, namely that Rabbi Akiva is going to teach a message. The message he was telling Rabbi Rishu is, don't go to buy meat with a heavy heart. You're making a chasna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I know it's difficult, but let's do it for simcha. And how do I know you can do this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There is a judgment. By Yizrach Lo HaShemesh, even something as innocuous as the shining of the sun, of the sunrise, sunset, even that there's a cheshbon for that. Binyamin and Dina, the idea of the Vilna Gaon, how did Rashi know it was Dina? Says the Vilna Gaon, a very clever chap. It must have been Dina, because the Chazal proved elsewhere that the Beit HaMikdash was positioned on the chelek of Binyamin, because he was the one person who didn't bow down. And therefore, if it wasn't Dina, if it was one of the Shvatim, maybe it would have been one of their Chalokim. That was his cheshbon. But we mentioned the difficulties with it. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us strength. We'll come back another year and we'll discuss alternative pshatim. Then we have the beautiful pshat that when the Malach names him Yisrael, not Yaakov, Kisarisa, Menoshim, Matuchal, why we call Yisrael? We should call Matuchal. It's something derivative of that. The answer is because the struggle is the Ikka. Work, the hard work, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. As Rav Moshe Shapira says, the youth is a time of work. As the Pasuk says in Iyov, Kasher Yisi Bimei Charpi, that we begin work week on a Sunday, Sheish Yom Tavoid, and then we have the rest at the end. And then the final idea, that the wife of Esav is called, her name changes from Bosmas to Mokas, to teach this idea that there are three categories of people whose sins are eradicated. One of them is a Chosn Kala on the day of their Chuppah. And why learn this from Esav? The Teretz is that even Esav, and therefore any other Chosn Kala, the Sotan won't be Makatrig and say, hey, I'm not going to sort of wipe his slate clean. Teretz is, if it works for Esav, it can work for anybody else. Okay, thank you for coming. I wish you all a good evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.